A voice for Christians in the Middle East and a bridge to the majority Muslim world. Those are the two goals of a Christian television station, Sat7, which has been broadcasting across the region for the past 15 years with educational, inspirational and above all entertaining programmes for young and old alike. Working ecumenically with all the Christian churches in the region, Sat7 has expanded significantly and has millions of Muslim viewers, as well as Muslim guests and hosts on most of its daily programming. Despite the many challenges and difficulties facing Christian communities in the region, Sat7 encourages people to stay and to engage across the political and religious divides, fostering bridges of understanding and cooperation through the daily dialogue of life.
Sat7 came out of the awareness that in the Middle East, 70% of the population have a satellite dish now. So satellite TV is the media that goes into almost every home.
Kurt Johansson, a Lutheran from Denmark, heads Sat7's European office. He told me more about the origins and the goals of this pioneering media network.
People in the Middle East watches or listens more to television than anywhere else in the world. So we found that this is the first time in world history where we can actually go to so many millions of homes if you do it in a good way, if you make attractive programs. So we started 15 years ago with a small studio in Lebanon, and later we expanded with another studio in Egypt. And now, to make a long story short, we have five channels 24 hours a day in the three major languages of the Middle East, in Arabic, in Farsi for Iran, and Turkish for Turkey.
The vast majority of those millions of homes are all Muslims, aren't they?
Yeah, we are a voice by the Christians, and everyone has the choice to look at Sat7 or not. It seems that the majority of our viewers are non-Christians, they are Muslims, but that's something they have decided to do.
You talk about, in your mission statement, you talk about one of the goals is to obviously educate and encourage the Christian community, but also to combat misconceptions about the Christian faith. What do you mean by that exactly?
There's a lot of misconceptions about the Christian faith, like we are cannibals because we have the Holy Communion, that we are immoral because men and women are sitting together in the churches, unlike in the mosques, and so on and so on. That we believe in three gods, not in one god. And all these things we can talk about that very openly on Sat7. And because all our staff are Middle East Christians who meet Muslims every day on the street, they can explain in a very relevant and appropriate way what are we Christians believing in. And thereby we can build bridges, we can eliminate misunderstandings, and we can give the church a kind of identity and legitimacy in the society.
So would you say that the majority of the programs are educational, or is there a wide variety of programming on Sat7?
All programs of Sat7 should fulfill three obligations. They should be entertaining, if not, no one will listen or watch them. They should be educational, you should learn something after watching a program. And they should also somehow have a Christian content. So we have all kinds of segments, all kinds of dimensions of a program, but somehow there should be these three dimensions of each program.
You also have a dedicated children's channel, don't you, a kids' channel?
We have a 24-hour kids' channel called Sat7 Kids. It's probably our most popular channel. Seems to have about 9 million daily viewers, most of them in countries like Iraq and Saudi Arabia. And this is one of the few kids channels in the Middle East, and they seem to be very popular also in non-Christian homes because we don't have any violence, no hate promotion. I mean, only good values, and you can learn a lot from watching our programs.
It's an ecumenical foundation, isn't it?
Yeah, we work with all the churches of the Middle East, Orthodox, Catholic, Protestants, in all the 19 countries of the Middle East.
That's quite a challenge, given the difficulties often between the different churches, for example.
It is a challenge, but we have done so now for 15 years, and it seems to be possible. It's not easy, but it is possible, and we have done that, and we will continue to do that.
It's a time of great uncertainty across that Middle East and North African region at the moment, particularly for Christians. Mm. We've seen so much violence perpetrated in the past few years in so many different countries. Are there risks involved in this kind of station?
I don't think we are at risk. We have never attacked any religion. We have never criticized any religion. We are not partial towards any political party. We have been now in the region for 15 years, and I think the local governments have learned about us now that we are here to build up the society, to improve the society, and to give the society a kind of pluralism that there are Christians, they should have a voice. We have a lot of current affairs programs where we also invite Muslims to talk. In fact, in every program we have a Muslim now, and many of the talk show hosts are Muslims. Many of those who call our live programs are Muslims. So we have found a way to be a voice for the Christians, but also to be a bridge for the non-Christian groups. I think there's a future for us. Of course, everything is open now, and of course a lot of Christians are afraid of the future. 200,000 Christians left Egypt last year, and perhaps another 200,000 will leave this year. They don't see a future. But we like to use our station to tell the Christians that they should not leave, they should not retreat, they should involve. So we try to encourage them to involve in society, be light and salt, and to have a prophetic voice. There's a need for that. And I think the Christians have a lot to achieve, a lot to contribute to the societies of the Middle East right now.
And yet, faced with the kind of attacks we've seen on Christian churches in Egypt, previously in Iraq as well, it's understandable, isn't it, that people just want to go?
It's understandable that people want to go. On the other hand, we don't want to see the Middle East without Christians. So that's why we have a kind of campaign right now where called Stay in Your Country, where a lot of people tell their stories. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, we had a difficult time. But this is our area, this is our vocation, this is where we want to stay and where our forefathers lived, and we will live here as well.
You talked about the situation in Iraq where there has been a decrease in attacks on Christians specifically. Tell us a bit more about this.
Yeah, there was a conference between the Christian leaders and the Muslim leaders where the Muslim leaders agreed to issue a fatwa, a Muslim order, that Christians should be left in peace, should not be attacked. It was, in fact, a crime against Islam to attack Christians. So after that fatwa, the number of attacks had gone down a lot. For some months, there were no attacks on Christians. And still, it seems like it's improving a lot in Iraq at the moment.
This conference was in January 2011, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was held in Copenhagen. It couldn't be held in Iraq. It was too dangerous. So the Danish Minister of Foreign Affairs invited them to Copenhagen under the leadership of Canon Andrew White from Baghdad, and they were able to negotiate peacefully and in a good atmosphere in Copenhagen, and then go back to Iraq and issue this fatwa.
It seems to be an extraordinary example of the way interfaith dialogue actually has had a concrete effect on the political situation there. It doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, it doesn't happen very often. It takes a lot of hard work to visit, to talk with a lot of different leaders, to bring them together. And it needs extraordinary people to do that. And maybe we haven't seen too many of this leadership so far, but it's a good example, and we hope that can spread to countries like Syria or Egypt, where Christians are also at risk at this time.
Do you think this kind of experiment can be repeated?
It can, but it needs some persons who want to invest in it and who have already invested a lot of it, because you can't do that overnight. You have to spend month after month talking and visiting and get the credibility in among all these leaders. It's difficult, but it can be done and it should be done.
What is the atmosphere at the moment in Egypt? We've seen the elections and so on.
I think the Christians have this attitude, wait and see. They're not very happy. But on the other hand, this is the situation, and let's get the best out of it. I was in Beirut last week and met two or three of the Egyptian church leaders who the day before was invited to the new president of Egypt. They were also invited to be part of the group that is writing the new constitution. So at least there are Christians in the group writing the new constitution. And also the president have declared that he wants a Christian vice president. So let's try to be involved. Let's try to be optimistic. Let's try to see what's happened.
Pope Benedict is, of course, traveling to Lebanon in the autumn. Do you think a visit like that can do anything to improve the situation there?
Surely it will create more international attention on the situation. It will make more attention for the Christians, more awareness, and that is always good. So I'm very hopeful for the Pope to go there. I'm praying for his visit that it will be a success. I can add that we just recently had the first live program from Iraq, where we were able to broadcast a lot of good things happening in Iraq, and also talk about difficulties like the sad events on New Year's Eve a year and a half ago, where 100 Christians were killed. A lot of people were asking, why did not God intervene in that situation? Why did not a miracle happen? And some of those who were outside the church said that a real miracle that day was that all the Christians were offered the opportunity to convert to Islam to save their lives. None of them did that. That was a miracle that day.
My thanks there to Kurt Johansson, head of SAT7's European office.